Good crowd for the afternoon services. Good to see those who are back. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you cannot be saved until you're baptized. But you got to believe that Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood that'll wash your sins away. No, he suffered for you that you can have eternal life. But when you believe that, you then got to be baptized for the remission of your sin. The Lord would add you to the true church, the only church, and that is the Church of Christ. You are VIP. Amen. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Okay, this afternoon, continuing our studies, we're into 9, part 9. So I'm going to change it probably from the parts to just a series of lessons that on this subject that I took from the post-traumatic stress disorder, which is not a biblical term in itself, but it is a clinical term that indicates individuals who have gone through traumatic experiences in their lives. And because they've gone through traumatic, it's always post. It's always something in their past that they're now living with. And it creates stress if it's not dealt with. Now, when you go to the doctors, they'll give you medication, send you through classes to help you deal with the trauma. But what I'm suggesting is spiritual. It's biblical. What I'm saying is the post-trauma, if you are spiritual, you will relieve the stress. But you have to have spiritual order. Many people have not dealt with their past because they have spiritual disorder. And so I talked about how in the beginning of this series, how many people, and this is more about interpersonal relationships, whether it be husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, brother, sister, mom and daddy, family relationships, job relationship, where someone has hurt you. Someone hurt you so bad, whether it's a church relationship, that you have a post-trauma. For example, then you have those type of traumas where some of it is mental, some of it is physical, such as rapes and molestations, and where little girls have been molested by their father or uncle or someone, and now they're 40, 50 years old, but they never dealt with the trauma. They never dealt with the pain. Or a spouse whose husband was abusive verbally, mentally, sexually, and now they're in their life farther along in their marriage, farther along 33 years, 34 years, 40 years into marriage, and they're miserable and unhappy because they never dealt with their trauma in a spiritual way. That's my suggestion, is that the problem is not the trauma. The problem is how you deal with it. So the trauma I call, biblically speaking, a sore travail. And that sore travail is a painful event that came up on you somehow, whether you were raped, whether you were verbally abused, or where it happened in your childhood, or whether your daddy was never there for you, or where your mama left you alone, or where you was adopted, or rather you were left alone, or whatever it was, or some man came in your life and he destroyed your life, or some relationship in the church, something happened, somebody didn't say something right or did something right, and you never could let it go. So now every time you see that person, every time you hear the conversation, let me slow down. My granddaughter told me, "Papa, you go fast." I went slow this morning. I'm trying to adjust my preach. I've been preaching like this for a long time, so it's hard to slow down when I know I need. But I know I need to do this. So y'all got the first part? Somebody go help me, Lord. So what we're talking about? Post what? Trauma. Post trauma. Post traumatic what? Stress. Okay, all I'm saying is that I know you ain't gonna never read that part in the Bible. What you're gonna read in the Bible is spiritual. Spiritual order means if I do it God's way, then I don't have to take them pills for the trauma. Every time I see that individual, the scab is not, and so I talk about the trauma being like a sore. Whereas when it happened, when they hurt you, they left a sore. And because it not healed, and I keep pointing my hand because I have a scar on my hand from an accident I had when I was a child, and I can remember that day, I remember it very good. See, memory is something God gives us. I remember the day I hurt my hand and why, but I can touch the spot and it don't hurt no more. So all I now have is a travail, but it's not sore. I have a painful event, but it don't hurt. You see, when people go through a nasty divorce, and they never dealt with the pain that came with it, then they gonna start acting out. And this is where I get to the next part where you have the cold blood I talked about how. And I have to recap this in order to make the last part work, the next section work. So the cold blood is that so if you got somebody that hurt you and now you can't stand them, you don't want to speak to them or you don't want to be around them, and when they see you get nauseated and you see them, you go the other way. All these they become, even they try to get back with you, they try, I'm sorry, dude. You still don't have it because now they become the victim of your cold blooded treatment. So now, if you grew up, for example, a young lady in a house that was abusive and things like that, then you get into a marriage and now your husband is the victim of your trauma because you never dealt with it. Because now you treat him cold. Now every man you treat cold, and so they become the victim of that trauma you went through. So it's a cold-blooded treatment where people stop speaking to each other, talking. Of being together. And then I talked about how you got to diagnose, do I have spiritual disorder? And then I talked about how once you determine if it's not spiritual, then it's evil. So when I looked at it, and that's a lesson, you can go back and get these CDs, you start looking at people who are angry, full of wrath, or someone who's bitter, someone who can't forgive, someone who's full of malice, someone who seeks revenge, someone who backbites, someone who tailbear, which now everything you doing is spiritual disorder. In other words, you're not doing it the way God told you to do it. So now if you don't identify that you have a spiritual disorder, you can't help nobody. You can't help. Now, understand this. When we hurt people, it's our responsibility to help them. That's spiritual order. Our responsibility now is to hurt, to help the person whom we hurt. Now, and when you go help them, remember this. This is the last lesson I did, is that baby, I'm gonna put it in a tough situation where a man wasn't there for his child during their and that baby is traumatized by you. You go to her and you or him, and you want a relationship now. You older, you want a relationship with that child. They don't want to have nothing to do with you because they still what? They still hurting. It's still a sore. No, it's a sore travail. Yeah, it's still a painful. It's not just a travail. It's a painful, but it makes, here's how you know, when you talk about it, they cry. Here's what you've done to me, and when I talk about it with you, I start crying because you know what? You hurt me, and it still hurts. Y'all see that? So now I'm talking about, okay, so that's when you know I hurt you, now I got to help you. Y'all with me? Spiritual people can identify pain, and, okay, what if I say, well, I know I hurt you, but you need to forget it. That's what you just need to just let it go. Forget it. That's what you should do. Now, you hear me? What you need? I told you I'm sorry. I hate I did that. And you need to just let that go and forget it. Now, is that possible? No. The answer is N-O. Because that's what I dealt with last time. What the God give you the memory that you did it. So you don't do that to nobody else. And they give them the memory that you did it because memory can help you bring glory to God. Because if I did it and I do what I'm talking about tonight, if I make the change, then I bring glory to God. If I help them make change, they bring glory to God. So the trauma now turns into a tribulation that has experience. And I said, well, I already dealt with that. I dealt with that when I did the memory part in Romans 5. When I got the trauma, I go through it for a period of time, and then it turns into an experience. Then I get out of it. Then I can look back at it as an experience. And now I can look back at the experience, and I take that experience and turn it from a negative to a positive. I was talking to a young lady who got raped several times, multiple rapes. So what do you do about that? You can't undo it. She said, but I don't want to think about it. No, you can't. No. You don't want, memory ain't going. Memory going to be there. It's going to be there. It's for a purpose. So you take the memory and you make spiritual change. God allowed you to go through it. Now you got experience. But there's another little girl that need to hear from you. And what you can do is bring glory to God, because you take that negative thing that happened to you, that one-time event, you came out of it. God brought you out of it. Now this other young lady is going through it. What you doing? You telling your story. Say, man, you know what? I've been there and done that. Now, I already know what you're doing, but here's what you need to do, honey. You know, I want you to come go with me. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus that can make a difference in your life. And when you make change in your life, you're going to make change. You take this. What I'm going to do with it is I'm going to help you. And when me and you get through it, we're going to help other people. What I'm doing. All of a sudden, my pain is glory in God's eyes. My pain brought glory to God, because I was the one that came out of it with God's help. Now, watch this. If I'm the one who caused the pain and I get it right, I bring glory to God and I save the soul that I hurt. Now, did I not turn a bad into a good? I did or not? If I, and this is what I'm getting to tonight, get 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If I take this thing and make a change, then I make this change and save that person's soul, that pain turn into a good. Is that good? No, yes or no? No? Now, my story that you know, because my brother was in a coffin, and that was my pain, the post-trauma, they called me to obey God. Now I'm preaching to you, helping you. I turned my negative into something good. Now, do I remember him in the coffin? Yes, I can tell you he had a scar on his finger. I can remember his face. I can remember the trauma. But when I went to the Lord, it changed my whole life. That can be any of us. Your life can change based on what you went through as in your life. You can take that and turn it into some good. Now, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, say what?
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, 9, 8, 9, and 10. That's what I want. God of sorrow, the one he read earlier.
For though I made you sorry with a letter.
Now, Paul writes a letter to the Corinthians. This is all I want to do tonight. I'm at the sermon point. Repentance is required for spiritual order. Let me say it again. Repentance is required for what? You cannot call yourself a spiritual man or woman if you can't repent of something you done wrong to somebody. You're not spiritual. You have a spiritual disorder. Notice what he says. For what? I wrote y'all a letter.
For though I made you sorry with a letter.
And the letter, when you tell somebody what they did, you hurt me. And you say, I made you sorry with a letter. You told me what I done to you. Read.
I do not repent.
Paul said, I don't repent. I had to tell you you were wrong. I had to tell you what you done to me. I don't repent. I don't change my mind. And repent means to change mind in the Greek. Notice this, he says.
Though I did repent.
Yeah.
For I perceived that the same epistle had made you sorry.
Read.
Though it were but for a season.
Yeah.
Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance.
Now notice this. If I hurt my child, I use my oldest daughter was Yashika. That wasn't there for her. It just wasn't there for her. 15 years old when she conceived, 16 when she was born. I denied her. had nothing to do with it. Oh, nothing, ain't no my baby. My mama said, shut up, you look just like your little man's tail. That's what my mother said. Guess what? I didn't argue with mama. But did I have anything to do with that child? I stayed as far away from him as I could. Was I okay? Was I spiritual? No. Did my brother get killed? I become a Christian. She called me and wanted to come to my home. You done heard the story, some of you. Not everybody. She wanted to stay with me. My chance, right? I want to get it right. I've been wanting to get right with her, you know. I asked her, please forgive me. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. No. Because she was showing out with her mama, so she's going to come try out on me. And then she's going to cut up. And I told her everybody had to be in the house by 12 o'clock at night. So she stayed out past 12. I said, really? Okay. She don't know. This is Tommy Brooks. And then so she's going to come home, Brother Clark. And that night I waited up on her. You're going to come home at 12 o'clock, past 12, in my house? Right now, you know, right now I don't even want my grown children doing nothing in my house that I don't approve of. You go get your own house and your own food and pay your own light bill and just do whatever you want to do. And I promise you, I ain't going to come over there and turn your lights off. I ain't going to come over there and do nothing. I ain't going to bother you. You just do whatever you. But when you walk, the day you walk into my house, then you're under a different rule, right? Y'all got that point, didn't you? So she came to my house about 20 years old. She thought she was a little hot thing. And she going to do past me. And I just let her get to her room. Got there real comfortable. And I just wait. She about half asleep. And went in there. I hit that door. Pow, pow, pow. Busted in. She like that. I said, did I not tell you? You know, Brother Brooks, you know, I'm like that. They know my jaws start flinching and everything. It turned red. My kids all, oh, Lord, Ralph. Here he is. He's gone. Yeah, so see. So later on, anyway, long story short, so that night she understood what I meant. She had the point. And then later years, she sent me, on the Father's Day, she gave me a plaque. Said, the best dad plaque. Huh? I got what? I got the best dad plaque, man. She said, you gave me faith. You gave me foundation. You taught me love. I didn't do that when I traumatized her. I didn't do that. I said, why you say that? She said, Dad, you remember that night you walked in when I first moved in with you, and you busted in that door, and you talked to me like that? She said, that's the night, that day. I said, that's my dad. But I loved her. I repented. I repented. And I was sorry that I wasn't there for her. That sorrowed me to my heart. And I wanted to get it right. When you're a child of God, godly sorrow. When I hurt my child, I hurt God. When you hurt your wife, you hurt God. And if you can't repent for hurting somebody, you hate a friend, you hurt God. You hate your neighbor, you hurt God. Because godly sorrow means, Lord, I know I wasn't right about this thing. It leads me to say to him, I'm sorry. See, so godly sorrow work at what? Repentance. So when I get into a state of sorrow, then that'll work repentance for me to change my mind about what I done and never do it again. But then you have the sorrow of the world. Oh, that's different. Sorrow of the world is different. See, here's how a man gets sorrow of the world. He get locked up. Now, you understand? He go to jail, done messed up, get in the cell, realize I messed up my life. I'm in the cell. I got trauma. I hate being in this cell. I'm crying. I want out. You go, guess what they stick in the cell with you most time? A Bible. So they call it jailhouse religion. And so he said, Lord, if you just get me out of this, you let me go. I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to be a good Christian. I ain't going to never do it again. And soon as they free him up, there go the Bible. And guess what I do now? I'm out of that situation. Because the only sorrow I had was sorrow of the world. And that worked at what? Death. You follow what I'm saying? Because I didn't change for God. All I wanted him to do was get me out of the situation. Because I wasn't sorry, God, I did this to you. So what he's saying, Brother Brooke, the difference between sorrow of the world and godless sorrow is godless sorrow working repentance. So what I'm saying to her, I'm talking to the people who traumatize other people. who have hurt other people. That's all of us. Sometimes in all of our lives, we got to look back. Who did we hurt? Have we not reconciled? Have we got it right? And how do we help people with stress disorders caused by us? How do I help my wife? By saying, I'm sorry, honey. I know I hurt you. I'm sorry I hurt you. I have a contrite heart. I'm not hearty. I have a tender heart. I'm hurting because I hurt you. And when people see someone is hurting because they hurt you, then the end result is forgiveness. The end result is what? That's what you want. Because you can't take away the memory. You can't erase what you've done. You can't expect them to erase what you've done to them. What you want them to do is free you. You want to be forgiven. That's why the Best Dad plaque was such impactful on my mind, because it was a freedom. She didn't hold it against me no more. You follow what I'm saying? It didn't make sense. Am I going too fast? So I'm saying to all of us, do not believe you are spiritual when you don't go back and get it right with people that you hurt. You have a spiritual disorder, and repentance is required. Get Psalm 51:17, and just give you a couple more scriptures. I think I told him it's going to be 15 minutes this afternoon. Brother says, I repent. No, I'm kidding. See, I had a change of mind, right? Y'all ain't gonna laugh about nothing this evening, are you? Yes, sir.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
What kind of heart?
Contrite.
A broken, a contrite, a collapsed heart. See, brothers, listen. If I talked about this last week, how the conscience works, and that's in, I think, part 7. So you can tell if you got a hard heart and you got a heart that's you too proud for to say I messed up or I hurt you, then you got a contrite, a proudful heart. So when we hurt people, it should break our spirit, and it should collapse our heart to the point we're sorry we did it. Proverbs 16:18. Here's what's going to cause many Christians who can't go back and get some right they wronged. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride
go before destruction
and a haughty heart lifted up heart before a fall. Better it is to be humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with pride. What he's saying? What he's saying, your pride, if you got too much pride to go to a person and say, I'm sorry. Let me just say this to you, and I'll just probably just stop it right there. Because here's the thing about going to someone. When you can go to someone and ask for forgiveness, you know, you have to understand that person can only give you forgiveness if you truly repented. Just like God. See, here's what, in Luke 24:44, he told him to go to Jerusalem and preach repentance and remission of sins. Is that what he said? So before a person can get remission or forgiveness of sin, repentance is required. So in other words, just like the people who killed Jesus on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:36. Said, let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Watch your conscience. They were pricked in their heart, so now they're hurt that they done it to him. And asked Peter, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then what Peter say? First thing he said was what? Repent. Change your mind about what you just done and be baptized. So repentance had to be preached first before forgiveness can come. See, all of us have some things in our past that we need to ask for forgiveness of. No doubt in my mind, some of you in here, I'm talking right to you. Nobody but me and you and God. No, I'm talking straight to you. I'm talking about you. You the one got raped. You the one got hurt. You the one been traumatized. And I'm talking to the person who hurt you. He or she is the one who hurt you. You know you did it. You the guilty party, and God gonna leave the memory with you, because if you die in your sin, it ain't because you didn't know it. It's because you had too much pride to ask for forgiveness. That's what the problem is going to be. The problem is you got a haughty spirit. You better let your heart collapse and go to sorrow. And you go back to that person and you get it right. That's what we should do in the church. You know you hurt your child, and now they're up 16, 17, 18, and you remember when you were abusive and all that stuff. You got to go back to that child and humble yourself, man. You might be a man, but to go to heaven, you got to get down and ask that child to forgive you. What are you saying? Repentance is required to call yourself a spiritual man or woman. You are not spiritual if you can't repent. Amen. Jesus said it like this. Luke 13:3 said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you're going to what? Perish, brothers. So if we have hurt someone, we got to go to them and get it right. That's how we make sure we deal with post-traumas caused by us. Now, if you're the person on the receiving end of it, guess what you got to be able to do? If I have repented, you have to have the willingness to forgive me. It goes both ways. You can't call yourself spiritual if you can't forgive the person. You say, Brother Brooks, you know, he molested me. I know what he did. I am not saying he didn't hurt you. I'm not saying what he did wasn't wrong. What I'm saying is don't call yourself spiritual. You can't consider yourself spiritual if you can't forgive whatever the wrong was. Where's your example? It was on the cross. Who did Jesus forgive? The very people who killed him. And every time you go to God and ask him to forgive you, you remember that. You remember that. And if you want God to forgive you when you done repented, then he wants us to forgive the person who also repented. Now, how do you know they repented? I just gave you the scriptures. Godless sorrow working repentance. A person whose pride ain't going to admit, well, you know, that's your fault. You shouldn't never acted like that. I wouldn't have done that to you. You know, what you need to do is do this. No, you ain't repenting. You don't have no sorrow in your heart. And, you know, people like that need to know. You ain't going to no heaven. Heaven's the farthest thing from you. Why? Because you want that same God to forgive you. And what did Jesus say? Somewhere in the Bible, Bo. If you can't forgive your brother, how you want to ask, come to God and ask him for forgiveness when you can't forgive someone in this world? Matthew what? Matthew 7. What's the verse, Brother Stroud? Let's get that one out of close. I thought I had my Bible back there. I guess I had to go look for it. Brother Stroud? What is it? 14 and 15? Yeah, that's it. Get that for me, bro.
Matthew 7?
No, it ain't that one.
That ain't that one.
Matthew 6. Go get verse 15. Go to verse 14 and 15 in Matthew 6. He said,
if you forgive men their trespasses,
if you forgive men their trespasses,
your heavenly Father will also forgive
you. Notice condition. The condition is required that you forgive people who trespass against you. Read.
But if you forgive not men their trespasses,
but if you can't forgive them,
neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
All your sins coming up on the day of judgment. That's pretty clear to me. So what God is saying was fair. Is that what you want? You want? You give. Because I gave. I gave my son so all of y'all to be baptized, for all of y'all to be saved. That's what God is saying. Yeah, if I gave my only son for all of y'all to be saved, I expect you to forgive them no matter what they done to you. Is that good? So is repentance required?
Yes.
Yes. And so if I'm a person who says, I have post-stress in my life, but I don't have spiritual disorder. So the stress is no longer stress because I'm spiritual. If I did the hurting, the way I know I'm spiritual is I got it right. Is that good? Because what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? We what? Everybody said together.
Repent.
That means I didn't talk too fast, but you didn't get it. So if you didn't repent, what's going to happen to you? You're going to perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Now, what is my obligation to the person who won't forgive me? No more than asking them. You cannot make someone forgive you. That person then must have a heart, a spiritual heart, will be tender to one who cries out for forgiveness, and they will give it. That make good? Is that good? Good lesson?
Yes, sir.
Good lesson. Good lesson. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Brooks, you know what? I've been going through a whole lot of stuff in my life. You got a lot of trauma in your life. You got a lot of things hurting you. People hurt all the time when they come here. People come to the Lord because they're hurting. But that's what he wants you to do. You're choosing, when you're hurting, you're choosing God over your situation. What you're saying is that, Lord, I need you to help me. And what God can do for all of us, no matter what you've done wrong in your past, if you believe God loved you, if you believe Jesus was beaten for you, if you believe they put the crown of thorns on his head for you, if you believe he marched them up the hill of Calvary for you, if you believe they drove the nails in his hands for you, if you believe he hung on that cross and suffered for you 6 long hours for you, and you know you were wrong, you know you don't deserve it, you ought to have sorrow. You ought to be sorry that God had to give his only son to suffer for you. And because he suffered for you, you ought to say, you know what, I want to do what I want to do. I want to serve him. I want to change my mind about who I am and what I've been doing. That's called repentance. And when you do that, you say, brother, I want to be saved. And how do you be saved? You believe Jesus hung on the cross. You believe they buried him in a borrowed tomb. You believe he shed the blood that washed your sins away. And you be baptized. And then baptism is for the forgiveness of sin. Baptism is for the remission of sin. Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 15 and 16, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves. Revelation 1:5, the blood washes away our sins. Acts 22:16, we're washed in the blood, and then we call on the name of the Lord. That's the only time you're spiritual, when you come up out of that water grave. Now you're in a spiritual relationship with God. All your past is forgiven, and now all the past that people did you in the wrong, you now got to forgive them because you are spiritual. And now that you've done that, it's like a bird in a cage. You just open the door and they fly away. Why? They free. God said, I freed you from everything you ever done wrong. So you know what I expect from you? We know what God expects from us when he forgive us. He expects us to free everybody that ever wronged us. Free them, y'all. Let them go. If it's in your marriage or in a church relationship and somebody you're not speaking to because of something going on crazy, that's foolishness, don't lose your soul over no boyfriend or girlfriend in the church. You go to that person and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I let it go. Let that go. That don't make no sense. Some of the stuff we let come between us and God, it just don't make no sense. It's just foolish. I got to slow down, huh? It's foolish. It don't make sense for us. Some of the stuff we'll lose our soul over because somebody said something wrong one time. You say, well, I know God. God know my heart. He sure do. He know you too proud to say I'm sorry. That's what he know about you. He know your heart is too hard to forgive that person. Then your problem going to be dealing with him. Amen. So what are you saying, brother? This is an invitation. The person who want to come and get a start with God, you got to be baptized tonight. The person who need to change your life and you repent right where you are. You know what? You can repent right where you are and ask God to forgive you. So I ain't going to do that no more. You ain't got to walk up here and say that. You can repent and get it right with your boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, sister, brother, mama. Some people won't even speak to their own mama. You stop that. Repent and go to tell your mama you're sorry that you acted like that. That's what you do. And your mother up in her age, 80, 70, 80 years old, you ain't speaking to your mama. You need to repent. Yeah, you need to repent. That's a shame before God. Amen, Walt. That is just sad to me. I guess when I got a love for my mother, just like I tell my children, they will not mess with my wife. They will not mess with your mama. You don't do your mama any kind of way. My grandkid, no, you don't get to do Nene any kind of way. You do it with daddy, papa, and that ain't no nice thing. But you ain't going to touch Sharon. You're not going to make her angry. I'm talking to my children. I'm saying we should have a love for our mothers. And it ain't Mother's Day either. I'm saying this because this is the way I feel about mothers. And I'm talking about you people who just done stuck your mama off somewhere and wrote her off. That's a shame. That's shameful. And what does that person need to do? Repent. Repent and go get it right with your mother. Amen. I just use that for example. You put anybody in that slot you want to put in there. Put your mama, sister, brother. People don't even talk to their brothers and sisters in this world. It's amazing when a person dies, what kind of junk come up at the funeral. Really? I mean, these are supposed to be Christians. You acting like that at a funeral? Don't one family sitting on this side. That one said, oh, then that one ain't speaking it out. Well, both of you looking at somebody dead. You ain't figured it out yet? You could be. Some folks, some, anyway. Boy, I like this preaching here. This is good. Is that good? I got to put this back up here. It be in my way, man. It be in my way. I don't like nothing in my eyesight. So is PTSD series helping you all at all? Anybody getting help with it? Good. I really believe that it'll help your life if you're able to identify yourself. Whether you're the victim or you were traumatized or were you the one who did it, both people are expected to get it right before who? God. Is that good? Yeah. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I just told you what to do to become a Christian. That's the first thing you got to do to get it right with God. Now, once you're baptized, the Lord then will add you to the only church in the Bible, and it's the Church of Christ. It ain't but one church in the Bible. It's the Church of Christ. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you won't need that book because there ain't but one Jesus in there. Do you believe that? There ain't but one God in there. You believe that? There's one baptism there. You believe that? Well, the Bible says there's one church. So if you can't believe the one church, you can't. The book ain't no good for you because obviously you think there's something wrong with it. But if you believe it ain't nothing wrong with it, understand this. The few people going to be saved going to be in the Church of Christ. That's the one in the Bible. I'm going to keep preaching it, y'all. Brother Brooks ain't going to never stop preaching the Church of Christ because that's the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. What song you got tonight? Yeah, that's a good one. Are you washed in the blood? Come on up here. Now, I got it back up there for you. Come on up here. If you need to be baptized tonight, I want you to come. If you want prayer, I want you to come. If you just need to thank the Lord for doing something good for you, it's okay to every once in a while just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for you being good to me. Amen. You've been just so good to me. And it ain't nothing wrong with saying that. Sometimes we ought to just do that, right? We ought to just say, Lord, you've just been too good for me. I done come through some stuff. I done had some bad times. I done had some good times. But God ain't never left me no matter what I did. I'm so happy to be a child of God. Wouldn't you come as together we stand and sing the song?